This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. Now, since early last year, prices for chicken and egg, along with many other essential foods such as vegetables, have been on a steep rise. The rise in prices has caused an immense public backlash, and the government kicked off a price control scheme, or kicked off price control schemes to address this issue. One such scheme is the Malaysian Family Price Control Scheme, or Keluarga Malaysia Price Control Scheme, which capped the price of chicken, eggs, and certain vegetables.
Now, even the government has also met up with the manufacturers of bread brands like Gardena and Massimo to look into the price increase of their bread products. Now, while they're not implemented price control measures for these bread, the Domestic Trade and Consumer Affairs Deputy Minister has said that the company is supposed to come up with a new bread product that will be sold at the old price. But, I mean, is this really the best way to address the issue of rising prices of goods or even inflation in general? Do price controls really work? And what's the long-term impact?
So for some thoughts on this, we have with us Professor Dr. Jeffrey Williams. He's an economist at the Malaysian University for Science and Technology. Good morning, Jeffrey. Thanks for speaking with us today and Happy New Year. Now, Malaysia has a long practice of price controls from food to RON 97 petrol. RON 95 petrol. Is this actually effective in managing inflation and containing the cost of living?
Hi. Well, good morning. Happy New Year to everybody. The truth is, yes, it is, actually. It is effective. If you look at the long-term inflation performance in Malaysia, it is actually relatively good. And because of the nature of the Malaysian economy, which is not contrary to what many people often say, it isn't a particularly competitive market economy. And so in some instances, because of market imperfections or market distortions, we will see prices rising beyond what people can afford. So from time to time, it is useful, a useful mechanism to control prices through price control mechanisms rather than through general monetary policy.
Okay, but when does it become, when does it stop becoming useful? Is it at what point? I mean, is there any point to having price controls indefinitely?
Well, it does. Yes, there is a point when it becomes a problem because it is, by definition, a market distortion. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of a price control system is to interfere with the price mechanism. Now, if you do this for a very long time, that is, particularly when you want to keep prices down, for example, then what happens is that companies will look at the prices and they'll realize that they're going to be fixed for a very long period. They'll make a decision as to whether they want to supply into that market or not. Now, if you do this for things such as food, for example, for a very long period of time, what you will find is that many local food producers will look at this price-fixing mechanism, and they'll say it's just not worth getting into that business. And what that means then for the country as a whole is you start to import food from other countries on a regular basis rather than creating it for yourself or growing it for yourself. Rice, for example, is a particular issue here in Malaysia. And that has a problem for long-term food security. So if you do this over a very long period, yes, it starts to cause problems. But in the current period, which, you know, the idea is that we're experiencing a spike in food because of issues related to COVID. So looking at price controls for a short period might be helpful. In fact, in my view, it's the only way that the government can actually regulate prices effectively under the current circumstances.
But I have another dilemma about this, in that if you have price control mechanisms and the argument is that you want to help certain segments of society which are finding it challenging at this current moment because maybe they've lost their jobs or their incomes are actually lower, yes, in a way, because of the price controls, everyone then benefits. Is there a fairer way to ensure those who need the help actually get them? Because that's the argument when it comes to, let's say, RON 95, right? Even the man driving the Mercedes is benefiting from it.
Yes, it's true. And actually, one of Malaysia's biggest welfare policies is the petrol subsidy, because it is a subsidy that affects everybody. That's true. And if you want to make the argument, well, people with big cars shouldn't get the subsidy in the same way as people who don't use their car so often, then yes, there is a sort of equity issue there. But really, what the problem that we're talking about here under those circumstances is income inequality. And one of the big issues that we're having in inflation, let me just be clear to everybody, Malaysia does not have an inflation problem at the moment, despite what people are saying. If you look at the United States or Europe, yes, I would say that there is an inflation problem there because prices are rising across the board. Here in Malaysia, we have specific issues to do with food, really. But the big issue in terms of people's living standards is not that prices are rising, it's that wages and salaries are falling and people are out of work. Mm-hmm. Unemployment has gone up. Underemployment has gone up. That's the big issue. Wages and salaries fell by 9% on average during 2020 and by 15% in terms of the median wages during 2020. That's the real problem. Salaries are falling.
So in that sense then, Jeffrey, what do you think, what would you prescribe for government policy then? What do you think needs to be put in place in order for wages to be rising if that is the problem?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of price control, I think they're doing what they should be doing. I think there are some people who have advocated monetary policy or austerity policy, increasing interest rates or reducing government spending. I think in the current circumstances, that would be a disaster for the economy. But focusing much more on salaries and helping people to get into well-paid, meaningful jobs, that's something the government needs to focus on. In order to do that, the economy has to grow. And in order for the economy to grow, we need to start to first remove and continue to remove many of the restrictions that we're still under because of the COVID thing. Hopefully that will improve as we move into an endemic phase. But also the government needs to start to continue to think about what it can do in terms of creating demand, encouraging demand, and liberalizing the labor market.
Okay, one other thing that I've noticed in the last few years, Professor, is the slowdown in private investment. And I think that's part and parcel of creating those higher-paying productivity jobs, right? But how do we rectify this? I mean, why are people so reluctant to invest in their own country, even for Malaysians and actually even foreign investors?
I think because the investment environment in Malaysia is not as attractive now as it was before. It's as simple as that. I mean, I think First, there are better options in other countries. I mean, Indonesia, for example, is 9 times larger than Malaysia in terms of the market. So if you're a foreign investor and you're looking for a big market, you would go to Indonesia because they've got 9 times the population. But also, I think that the investment environment and the look and the feel of Malaysia has deteriorated, particularly in the last few years. And there are lots of issues in Malaysia which are not signaling that it's a good environment. The governance issues, the legal issues, the environmental, social and governance issues in terms of the labor market, for example, all of these things, I think, are making foreign investors cautious about Malaysia. And under current circumstances, they have options elsewhere. And I think that's what's happening. They're choosing options elsewhere.
Jeffrey, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Professor Dr. Jeffrey Williams, economist at the Malaysia University of Science and Technology, talking to us about price controls and whether they're effective. In his view, at this point, yes, they are. But also pointing out that to the problems in Malaysia's economy aren't going to be solved by price controls. It really needs to look at raising that value of salaries across the board.
So clearly we are facing some structural issues, right? And we keep hearing this conversation about the need for our wages to rise, not only when dealing with prices of goods going up, but also recently when we talk about conversations about EPF, whether people have enough savings to rely upon when they retire. And in the first place, maybe if they're not earning enough, they can't save enough. And it's the same case, right? If you're not earning enough, then everything becomes increasingly expensive because you just can't afford it.
That's right. So in that sense, price controls are an answer to a very small problem, or just one part of the problem if we're looking at it as a multi-step problem. Price controls can only solve a little bit, but broadly there has to have a much more bigger picture solution to the situation that we're experiencing at the moment.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.